Well, you can take your Bibles tonight. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 17. Ephesians 1:17. And I wanted to share on tonight our power of attorney, which is our privilege to use the name of Jesus Christ in this life. And in verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, God wrought a lot in Christ Jesus, right? He raised him from the dead. He set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, and he gave him a name that's above all, every name that is named, right? Above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, right? So the highest name under God is Jesus Christ. And we have a right to use that name. We have a right to the power of attorney, right? And what that means is that we can say things as if we are Jesus Christ himself, right? When you have a power of attorney, you have the same power that the name that you're using has. So if you had the power of attorney for the CEO of a company, you could make all the decisions the CEO could make. If you had the power of attorney for the President of the United States, you could carry out all the things that the President carries out in his name. And we have the right to use the name of Jesus Christ as his brothers and sisters, as God and Christ in us. We have the right to use that name. And it is the highest name under God. So I wanted to look at why that name is important. And the first is that he inherited, Jesus Christ inherited, a great name. Go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And in order to inherit something, you have to be family, right? Your inheritance comes from your family. So Jesus Christ, excuse me, inherited a great name. And in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He was the actual Son of God. He was the only begotten of the Father, right? His actual literal Father was God. And in verse 15, it says, "John bare witness of him and cried, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared or made known him or God. Right? No man has seen God at any time, but his only begotten Son has made him known. He was the actual Son of God. So he inherited a great name because his Father is God. His Father is God. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And this is the greatest birth announcement of all time. You might cut a nice cool looking cake or blow up a cool colored balloon. But this is the birth announcement of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Right? This was the incredible birth announcement of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Right? He inherited a great name because he was God's Son. He was God's Son. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, John 5. I'll have to scroll that out in your notes now. John 5:18. Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 18. It says, Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, referring to Jesus, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said that also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And that phrase, equal to God or with God, is because in biblical times it was customary that the Son was equal to the Father in authority and influence, right? So for Jesus Christ to say that he was the Son of God meant that he was claiming culturally that he had the same authority and influence as God, right? But that was true. He was the Son of God. He wasn't saying anything that wasn't true. He was the Son of God. Now you can go to Matthew chapter 8. So he inherited a great name. Right. Culturally speaking, he had the same authority and influence as his Father. And that's quite an incredible name. Matthew 8, verse 28. It says, And when he was come to the other side, again, this is referring to Jesus Christ, when he was come to the other side into the country of Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou what? Son of God. That's right. So the spirits knew who he was, right? Devil spirits knew who Jesus Christ was. God had to announce it to the world, right? Jesus Christ, if he referred to himself as the Son of God, might have been ridiculed or looked upon as blasphemous, but the devil spirits knew who he was. They knew the truth. What do we have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Right? They recognized his authority. They recognized that, you know, he could cast them out, that he could had authority over them. They asked the question, are you here to torment us? Because he had power and authority over them. Go to Luke chapter 8. Similar record in Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And it says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time. And that devils is daimonion, which means multiple lesser devil spirits. This guy had a lot of devil spirits, a whole bunch. And he wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? Right? So the spirits again took notice. They recognized his authority. I beseech thee, torment me not. Right? And we know that this is where Jesus Christ cast out the devil spirits that referred to themselves as legion because there were so many of them, right? But they recognized who he was. They knew his authority as the Son of God. He inherited a great name. God also, as we'll see, exalted his name. And that's in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. So by the very nature of who Jesus Christ was, as the Son of God, he had a great name. He had power and he had authority because he was the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And God exalted his name in Philippians 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Right? It would have been acceptable for him to have had the same authority and rights as God himself. But, verse 7, made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant, which was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is what?
Above
every name. That's right. God gave him a name above every name. God exalted his name. His name is the highest ranking in authority, right? And we need to believe that when we use it, right? When we pray, we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, right? And we need to recognize the power that's in that name, the authority that's in that name, right? The adversary and the devil spirits know it. We need to recognize it. We need to believe it when we use it. He acquired a great name because of his achievements, which we'll see too. He lived up to that name, right? He accomplished great things. Go to Colossians chapter 2. So we have the right to use that name. And that name contains a lot of power and authority. Colossians 2, verse 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Right? So Jesus Christ triumphed over the adversary. He spoiled principalities and powers. He won, right? He won the battle for us. He's spoiled those devil spirits, those principalities and powers, right? That's part of what Jesus Christ achieved. He already won the battle for us. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. So he spoiled them, which means he won. He defeated them. He has authority over them because he has won. He has defeated them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Oh, sorry, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Right? So part of what Jesus Christ accomplished is that he led captivity captive. And what that phrase means is that he has captured all of the things that would lead to humanity being held captive, right? The adversary wants to see people enslaved. He wants to see them bound up by things. Jesus Christ has delivered us from those things. He's captured those things so that we don't have to be captive by them, right? He's given us the victory. He led captivity captive. He captured the ones that try to capture us, right? That's part of what he's accomplished. There's great authority in his name. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 20. So he lived up to who he was, to his birthright as the Son of God. He accomplished these things for us. In Luke 11, verse 20, it says, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Right? So he... Again, this was him talking to the Pharisees who were accusing him of casting out devil spirits in the devil's name, in Beelzebub's name. But he cast them out with the power of God, right? He had authority over devil spirits. Jesus Christ had the right to cast out devil spirits because he had authority over them. There's power in that name. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 16. And then ultimately, he got up, right? He was raised from the dead. God raised him from the dead. At the end of Matthew here, speaking to his disciples, the risen Christ, he said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when he saw them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and where? In earth, all power is given unto me, Right? This was the victorious risen Christ. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And we get to use that name, right? That's the name of Jesus Christ. A name that holds all power in heaven and in earth. And we're going to look at a couple records in Acts where that name was used and the power behind it. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So we saw from the scriptures why his name is great, right? He inherited a great name. God exalted his name. He lived up to and acquired a great name because of his achievements, his accomplishments. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Donald Trump." Now, in the name of who? God. Jesus Christ. "For the remission of sins, and you shall receive," lambano, "the gift of the Holy Ghost." Right? So, people get born again in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? You confess with your mouth that he is Lord and Savior. It is by his name that you get born again, that you have remission of sins, that you receive Holy Spirit, the new birth, right? You get eternal life through the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he, the lame man, gave heed unto them. He listened to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So again, it was in the name of Jesus Christ that they commanded this lame man who could not walk to stand up and walk. And he took him, verse 7, by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. They were made whole immediately. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Right? People get healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, as Peter is explaining this to them in the temple, he says, "And in his name," Jesus Christ's name, "through faith in his name, the believing on that name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Right? He was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. There's great healing power. In chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people," this is before, you know, they took him before the council after that whole episode, "You rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." Right? To remind them that once again it was by the name of Jesus Christ that this man was made whole. Go to Acts 16. And this This was Peter and John exercising their power of attorney, their right to use the name of Jesus Christ to accomplish great things. That people would be born again in that name. That people would be healed and delivered in that name. Acts 16, verse 16 says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us." So she's possessed with a devil spirit. "Which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying," by fortune telling. "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of" who? "Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out that same hour." Right? So devils can be cast out in his name. Right? Devil spirits can be cast out in the name of Jesus Christ. Because there's authority and there's power in that name. And we have the right to use that name. So if we get revelation, if we get discerning of spirits and word of knowledge and word of wisdom to cast out a devil spirit, we can. It's our right to. We have that power of attorney. We have the power of attorney to use that name to be able to cast out that devil spirit. Go to Colossians chapter 1. So you'll see that throughout the book of Acts. That when these men did great things, when they worked miracles, when they cast out devils, when they operated the manifestations, it was in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have that same right. We need to believe the power in that name when we use it. Colossians 1:18. "And he," Jesus Christ, "is the head of the body, the church." He's the head. He has preeminence. "Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." It pleased God that in his Son, Jesus Christ, would all fullness dwell. He is the head. He has preeminence. And we'll close in chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you with through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Right? Beware of what the world's going to teach you. It'll be everything but Christ, because it's in Jesus Christ, it's in his name that there's power. Verse 9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Right? In him dwells all the fullness of God in bodily form. And you are complete. Completely, right? The rare fourth verb form of that word that we've heard Dr. Werwell teach. We are completely, absolutely complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, which is all ruler and authority. That's Jesus Christ. He is the head ruler and authority, and we have the right to use his name as if he was right here standing in the room. It is God in Christ in us, and we too can use that name as our power of attorney.